Okay, who's ready to start?
Me!
Hello and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. I'm your host, Lance Huntsman.
And I'm your co-host, Taylor Huntsman.
This show is about families getting to heaven. Our family is Heaven Bound.
You should come too!
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Heaven Bound Podcast. Today we're recording episode number...
Two.
Not two, what is it?
Three. 24.
No, not...
25.
25, oh, we're... That's good, we got so many episodes now, we're losing count. We're doing episode number 25 today. And if you didn't figure it out yet, I have both of my co-hosts with me, Taylor and Michaela. Tell everybody hello, girls.
Hi.
Hi.
What have y'all been doing today?
I've been making a fun seashell bracelet and a pretty picture for my daddy.
What was your picture of?
A pretty pony next to a little lake.
Mm-hmm. And you cut out all different colors of construction paper for all the different parts. Instead of coloring it, you used all different colored paper and cut out the shapes you needed and put them together. And it was really nice looking. You did a good job, didn't you?
Yeah, and I put glitter glue on the pony for spots.
Yeah, she had pretty glitter spots all over her, didn't she?
Yeah.
She was really cute. Michaela, what have you been doing today?
I pat the bunny rabbit.
Did you pat the bunny rabbit?
Yeah.
Was that a book you read?
Yeah.
And you got to pat the book?
No, I just read Winnie the Pooh and I
look
at the candies.
Okay, Winnie the Pooh. So... we're going to get started. Today is going to be just a little bit different.
Yeah.
The only thing that's going to be different, we're jumping way ahead. I'm following the topics that we're doing are generally from the chronological Bible. Chronological? The chronological account of Jesus. And the four different Gospels put some things in different orders. And so that's why it seems like I'm skipping around a bunch, because I'm following this pattern that's been laid out as a chronological outline, and just taking the topics, and then we're studying with them together as we would do. Today we're going to skip way ahead because what we're going to do today, yesterday, Taylor came up, and what seemed very random to me, but I'm sure it wasn't random, I'm sure there was something going through her head the way she usually is. This could have been going through her head for a few days, mulling it over. But she came and she asked me a question. And we'll tell you what the question was here in a little bit. But it was a really just a neat question, neat for Daddy at least, because she's thinking about these things and she wants to know these things. And I think the reason that she comes up with some of the questions that she does is because we spend a lot of time talking about the Bible. And we spend a lot of time talking about where we're going. And Taylor, where are we going?
Heaven.
That's right. You better believe it. We're going to be there together. And that's really the only goal that we have. There may be a lot of things we can do to accomplish that goal, but that is our one main goal for our family, is to be in heaven together. And so we spend a lot of time talking about and a lot of time reading the Bible and studying the Bible. And we talk about Bible class, and we have a chant. The other day, we were just on our way. I pulled in to get gas. And I'm not saying this to toot my horn. I'm just giving an example of how I try to turn things into teaching opportunities. I had to pull in and get gas, and there was a fellow there that didn't have money, that needed gas. And I don't know his whole life story. I don't know his circumstance. His truck was nicer than my truck, so I don't know why he didn't have money to put in that nice truck, but that's not my job to question those things. And he came over, and he wasn't even really begging. He was trying to work out a trade with me of some sort. And it wasn't something that was working. But I handed him some money, and I said, "You know what? Don't worry about a trade. This won't get you very far." He said, in a couple of days, he was going to get paid again, and everything was going to be okay. And so I gave him a $20 bill, and I said, "You know what? It's a gift. You know, have a blessed day." And that was it. I mean, it was a very, very simple thing. It was because I had money on me at the time that I was able to. There's a lot of times that I'm not even able to do something like that. So when I got back in the car, I made it a point to ask Taylor, "Did you see me talking to that man?" And she said, "Yeah, who was he?" And I said, "Well, I said he was a nice guy who needed to buy gas for his truck, and he didn't have any money. I said, what do you think I should have done?" And she said, "You should have helped him." And I said, "Why should I have helped him?" And she said, "Because Jesus wants us to help people." And I said, "Well, guess what? Guess what I did?" And she said, "You helped him, didn't you?" And I said, "Yeah, a little bit." And I wasn't able to fill his tank up. I wasn't able to buy him groceries or whatever he needed, but I was able to help him a little bit. And we talked about that. And so I think it's because we spend so much time talking about things like that that her mind is thinking about things, and she comes up with these questions. So without going on any further, Taylor, what question did you come ask me yesterday?
How we know who's a Christian?
She said, "Daddy, how can we tell who really is a Christian?" And I was like, "Wow, that is a big question." There's a lot of things that go into that, but there's a pretty simple answer. And we're going to look at the answer that I gave her yesterday, and she's going to know this really well because we're doing it again today. But we're going to look at that answer from John chapter 15. Because Jesus tells us exactly how he can tell if we're a Christian. And I think if this is how he can tell, then there's no better way than for us to be able to tell. So in John chapter 15, if you take a second to turn there, we're going to see Jesus tells us a story. Now sometimes when I read things out of the Bible, I say I don't like to call them stories, because they were real, they were true. I like to call them accounts, and sometimes I'm not always consistent with that. But really, they are accounts. But sometimes we have an account of Jesus telling a story, and that's what this is. It's a story. He makes up a story about plants, and he tells us we're kind of like these plants, and he says that so that it helps us understand what we're supposed to be doing. When Taylor asked me this question and we started talking, before I even started reading John chapter 15, I was trying to get her to understand why Jesus tells these stories, because if we just read it, it might not make sense, especially to a little one. And so the example that I gave her was, I said, "Boy, if I came in and said, I'm as thirsty as a dog on a hot day," I asked her if she knew what that meant, and she does, because we have two dogs, and we've had a lot of hot days here recently, and we got to make sure our dogs get lots of water. And one of them is an inside dog. He's inside and outside. He likes to run around outside, but he comes in to eat and to cool off, and he sleeps inside with us at night. And so he'll come up, and he'll kind of scratch at the door when he wants to come in, and we'll let him in. And sometimes he's just panting, and he's hot, and he goes straight to his water bowl and starts lapping up cool water. And she knows what that's like, because a lot of times she's the one that goes and lets him in for us. And so I asked her if she knew, you know, what I meant when I said that, and she said she did. That means I'm not a dog, and I don't walk around with my tongue hanging out like a dog. But if I'm as thirsty as a dog on a hot day, then she knows that means I'm really, really thirsty, don't you, Taylor?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm really thirsty.
Are you really thirsty too, Michaela?
Yeah.
You know what? When we're done recording, we'll get something to drink, okay? So Jesus is going to tell a story kind of like that, kind of like saying thirsty like a dog on a hot day, but he's going to use an example of plants, and he's going to try to help us understand how we can know if we really are a Christian. So in John chapter 15, Taylor, do you remember the kind of plant that Jesus is talking about?
A
vine, that's right. He says it's a vine. And what kind of fruit did we learn grows on a vine?
Grapes.
Grapes, yeah. There's lots of other fruits, but the one that we talked about was grapes. And I got a piece of paper out, and I drew a picture of a big vine going right up the middle of the paper from the bottom all the way to the top. And then, what did we draw coming off the side of that vine?
Branches.
Branches. And there's a whole bunch of branches, and when you have something like a grapevine, it can get really big and grow really long, and it can have a lot of branches, and sometimes those branches make more branches. And so we filled up a sheet of paper drawing branches coming off of this vine. And then what did we draw on the little branches?
Grapes.
Grapes. We went and drew little grapes. Did we draw grapes on all the branches?
No.
No, some of them didn't have any grapes, did they? Yeah. Okay, and that's the picture we drew. And we spent a few minutes talking about how a vine grows and how it gets water through the roots, and that vine, that main vine, is what provides all of those nutrients on the water and the vitamins that are in the soil to those branches. And then the branches' job is to do what?
Grow fruit.
Grow fruit. That's what Jesus is telling in John chapter 15. He starts in verse 1 and he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Okay, the vine dresser would be another word for a gardener. Jesus says, I'm kind of like a vine that's growing in the garden. And the Father, talking about God, Jehovah God, is the gardener, the vine dresser. And then Jesus says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it can bear more fruit. Now, if we skip down to verse 5, he says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. So, Taylor, we saw that Jesus was the vine. Who are the branches?
Us.
Us. We're the branches. So he says in verse 5, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So if the branches are growing on the vine like they're supposed to, what do they do? What do they bear?
Fruit.
Okay. But verse 6, he says, if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. But if you abide in me, verse 7, and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Okay, so he says, he gives us this picture. He says, I'm the vine, and I have strong roots. And I provide the water and the nutrients for all the branches. I provide everything the branches need to do their job. And what is the job of the branch?
Being kind.
Well, what do the branches bear?
Fruit,
okay. So he says, I'm the vine, and I provide all of those things to the branches, and their job is to bear fruit. And who are the branches again?
Us.
It's us. So Jesus says, if you do your job, then you're bearing fruit. But he says, if you don't do your job, the branches that don't make any fruit, he says the vine dresser or the gardener, God, comes along, and what does he do to the ones that aren't bearing any fruit?
Burn them.
He cuts them off and burns them, okay? So if we're a branch, it's important for us to do what?
Obey God.
Obey God and bear fruit, right? Good. So at the end of, in verse 8, when after Jesus gives that little picture, he says, by this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. He said, if we're bearing fruit, then we're proving that we are his disciples. What does it mean to be a disciple? Do you know what that word means?
It means to love God.
Okay. A disciple, the word disciple means a student, means a learner, means somebody that learns. So every morning when we have school at home with usually mommy, sometimes daddy, I get to help on Thursdays, don't I? When you have school and mommy or daddy is the teacher, then what are you?
A disciple.
A disciple. When you go to Bible class, and you have a teacher that has a lesson ready and they're teaching you about Jesus, she's the teacher And you're the what?
Disciple.
The disciple. So a disciple is somebody that learns from somebody else and that follows them. Okay? It's more than just going to school and learning, but you say, I want to be just like that person. I want to do what they're doing. And maybe sometimes you copycat them. Do you ever copycat Daddy?
What does copycat mean?
It means do the same thing or say the same thing that Daddy does.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do, don't you, sometimes?
In the pub. Copycat.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what the word...
Well, that's kind
of... Okay, it's time to stop. That's what the word disciple means. It means you're going to listen to what I say, and then you're going to do exactly what I say and exactly what I do. And so, to be a disciple of Jesus means we want to know what he has to say. We want him to teach us, and we listen real close, and we listen real carefully. We read the Bible and we study the things that he said and then we go do them and we try to act just like Jesus, don't we?
Yeah.
Do you know what it means to be a Christian?
It means to follow God.
Yeah. To be a Christian, the word Christian comes from the word Christ. It means to be like Christ. So it's kind of the same thing as being a disciple. Okay? To be a Christian is to be a follower of Jesus, to learn what he said and to go do what he did. Okay, we're following him and not somebody else. So when he says in John 15, verse 8, that there's a way we can prove that we are disciples, that's also saying there's a way that we can prove if we're Christians. And he says, how do we do that? How do we prove that we're disciples or Christians?
I don't know.
In John 15:8, he says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. How do we prove to be his disciples?
Bear fruit.
Bear fruit, exactly. So, okay, wait a minute. What does that mean, bear fruit? Does that mean I'm going to have bananas grow in my armpits and I'm going to pull them out and give them to God?
No.
Does that mean grapes are going to grow on my elbows?
No.
Does that mean apples will grow on my earlobes?
No.
No, it doesn't mean those things. It doesn't mean real fruit. No. Jesus just gave a story to help us understand. So now we got to figure out the rest of the story. What does it mean to bear fruit? If we're doing what God told us to do, if we're producing the things that Jesus wants us to produce. He's the vine, we're the branches. He gives us the nutrients and the things that we need to survive. And we give him fruit. What kinds of things are fruit?
It's something that has juice in it. And sometimes seeds that you can pull out and plant them in the garden for that kind of tree.
Okay, that's what real fruit is. But remember, Jesus is not telling us real fruit. We don't do things that really make seeds and juice. If we're obeying God, what kinds of things are we doing?
Bearing fruit.
Okay, like what? What is a way we can obey God?
Love people.
Love people. That's a good one. Is it hard work to love people sometimes?
No.
No? Well, sometimes it is. Sometimes people aren't very nice, and it's hard work to love those people. It's easy to love our good friends and our family.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's hard to love people that are mean to us, that say bad things, or that do bad things. But that's part of bearing fruit. When Jesus says you need to be doing the things I told you to do, he told us to love people, didn't he? What else can you think of? What is good things that Jesus told us to do?
Share.
Share. Okay. That's being kind to people, isn't it? And sharing things with them, giving things to them if that's what they need. Yeah, that's being kind. What else can you think of?
I don't know.
You think you don't know. Let's look at another verse real fast that'll help. In Galatians chapter 5, we read another verse that tells us about fruit. And it's not real fruit. It's not talking about apples and bananas and pineapples and pears. He says in Galatians 5, verse 22, Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit. Who's the Spirit?
Someone who lives in heaven.
The Holy Spirit, huh? This part of God, God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the things that we will do if we're walking in the Spirit, if we're living the way Jesus wants us to live, and God and the Holy Spirit want us to live, then the fruit that will grow is Galatians 5:22, love. You already said love, didn't you? Love each other. That's a good thing. That's something we obey. That's a kind of fruit that we make for Jesus. Love and joy. Having joy, being happy all the time, being excited. Why? Where are we going?
Heaven.
Heaven. We've got a lot to be excited about if we're going to get to be in heaven, right?
Yeah.
And we should be joyful, because if we're joyful, then that's exciting and that will draw people to us. If we're not very joyful, if we're not excited, if we're just an old grumpy grouch all the time, then people don't want to go where we're going. But we want people to go where we're going. We want people to go to heaven. Love and joy and peace. Do you know what peace is?
It's to be calm and don't cry.
Okay, it's to be calm and happy and nice to each other. Sometimes you and sister are not at peace with each other, are you? Sometimes you argue and yell, and sometimes we don't share, and those are the opposite of having peace. Being at peace with people, being patient with people, we have to learn to be patient. Kindness, that's like giving and sharing and saying nice words, encouraging. He says goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Gentle is when you hold a baby soft and don't try to hold her tight.
Mm-hmm. That's being gentle, isn't it? And you know, sometimes we need to be gentle the way we talk to people. You know, sometimes when you and sister are trying to decide which show to watch or who gets to play with which toy, sometimes we forget to be gentle, and we can use gentle words to talk to each other, can't we? And instead of saying, ow, you hit me, I'm going to come punch you in the nose right now. That's not very gentle. But we can say, you know what, I know it was an accident, but you hit me just now. Will you try to be more careful? And that can be a gentle way to talk to people to help solve problems. So these are the kinds of things, Galatians 5:22 and 23. These are the kinds of things Jesus wants Christians to do. And it says that is bearing fruit. So, you asked, how can we tell if somebody is a Christian? Jesus told us how we can tell. We look at the things they're doing, and if they're doing things that Jesus commanded, if they're obeying him, part of that means repenting of sin and being baptized, and part of that means living a life that is all of these things, being kind to people and giving and sharing and helping and being gentle and helping people fix problems and being sorry when we do things that are bad and trying to fix them and having self-control and being patient and loving one another. All those things, those are good things, and that's how we can tell if people are disciples of Jesus. Is it good to know that when we have questions, we can find the answer in the Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah. Daddy didn't have to have that answer because Jesus already had it, didn't he? Yeah. And all we had to do was turn and read it and make sure we understand. So do you understand how we can not just tell? We don't walk around and look at people and go, I think you're a Christian. I don't think you're a Christian. What we need to be the most concerned about is looking at ourselves and saying, am I the kind of person Jesus wants me to be? And becoming a Christian, the Bible talks a lot about becoming a follower of Jesus, not just saying, yeah, he was a good person and I want to do things like he did. To become a follower of Jesus, we talked last week in our podcast about sin and about going to heaven and getting forgiveness for that sin. To become a Christian, we have to have our sin forgiven and we have to be baptized to wash those sins away. But even after that, we become a Christian. How do we know we are a Christian? Because our whole life is described by these good things that Jesus commands us to do. And it's things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And that's not even all of them, but that's a good place to start because Paul tells us those right in Galatians 5. Did you know it?
Yeah.
Yep. Do you have any other questions?
No.
No? I'm so glad that you come and ask questions. Did you know it?
Yeah.
Mommy and Daddy love answering questions. Does Daddy always have the answer?
No.
No, not always. But where can we always find the answer?
In the Bible.
In the Bible. That's right. Good job. I have that yellow one. Michaela was here today, but Michaela was super wiggly, and she was doing good just to kind of sit over there. We didn't have a lot of interaction from her because we had a hard time finding a place to sit still today. So hopefully she's going to keep getting the hang of this, and we'll have more of a talking part for her in the future. But I'm so glad you were here with us today, Michaela. Do you know what it means to follow Jesus? We have to do the things that he asked us to do, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we're going to wrap up part one of our podcast for today. So, girls, tell everybody bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, it's time to switch gears again. And the girls are gone home, and I'm going to start part two of this week's podcast. Over the weekend, I got a chance to go to a parenting seminar that was put on one of the churches nearby. A good friend of mine is preaching there, and he had another good friend of mine come in and give the seminar specifically about parenting. Steve Miner is the name of the speaker that came down. If you have a chance, if you don't know him, Steve Miner helps with the Legacy Family Camp that I have talked about on here before, and that's coming up this fall and in October. And if you would like information on that, I believe you can just Google Legacy Family Camp, and probably it will come up. It's hosted at the Quartz Mountain Christian Camp facility in western Oklahoma. And so you should be able to find information about that. And to my knowledge, it is not filled up yet. But if you would like to go and be a part of that, it's an amazing weekend. But I was excited to get a chance to hear Steve present some of these lessons on parenting again. I love Steve. I believe in what he teaches, what he promotes. And it was really neat to get to hear that. So I wanted to share with you today one of the points that he covered during his series, and I don't know, I took good notes. I don't know if I'll rip all of these off to give me something to talk about for the next few weeks, or maybe just pick a couple. But it's the same kinds of things that I share with you anyway. But one of the strong points that he emphasized that hopefully I emphasize as well, and if not, if I failed to do that, now I'm going to steal from him. You notice when I was visiting with Taylor today, one of the things that I asked her was, does Daddy always have the answers? And very quickly she said no, because she knows I don't always have the answer. And when I ask her where we can find the answer, she already knows to say the Bible. And that's not just the answer to a question. We could teach a parrot to answer that question, you know, who has all the answers? Rock, the Bible. You know, that wouldn't be that hard. That's not the point. The point is training her to see that is really something that really has answers, that we really do turn to it, and we really do find solutions in life. And being able to take her to John chapter 15 to answer her question about, you know, how can we tell if someone is a Christian? Building that habit within our children is invaluable. That they understand, hey, we've got a question, we can open the Bible, and we can find it in the Bible. Daddy could just answer that question. I could just tell her, well, baby, here's how you know, and tell her some things. And I might be accurate, I might be inaccurate, I might just be incomplete. But if all she knows is, I asked Daddy, and Daddy told me, then Daddy has the answers. And her faith is going to be a little carbon copy of Daddy's faith, or Mommy's faith, or whoever it is that she's going to get the answers to those questions. And so it's really important to start as soon as possible letting them know this is where we go to get our answers. God is the one who has given us his inspired word through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, written by the hands of apostles and other men that were inspired by him. And this is where we go to find these answers. And you know, I don't always know exactly where to go to show her the answer to her questions, and I don't expect that all of you should always know exactly where to go to find the answers. But building that habit, saying, you know what, I'm not sure. I bet we can find it in the Bible. And maybe sitting down and taking time to look, or maybe, boy, this is a tough one. I'm really not sure what the Bible has to say about that. You know what, sweetie, why don't you give me a couple of days to try to find that out, and we will talk about it. Those are all acceptable answers, okay? And our kids need to see and need to know and need to understand that it's okay to take our time and not have the answer, okay? Because the answer is in the Bible, and we can find it there. There are times, matter of fact, just last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, Christy, my wife, sent me either a text message or a chat on the computer or something. She was home doing school with the girls and I was at work. And she was talking about the Holy Spirit. And I'm not even sure in what context or capacity it came up for them. But Taylor remembered that we did a podcast just a few weeks ago about Jesus casting out demons and the Bible describing the demon as an unclean spirit. And part of how I tried to teach and get her to understand is that the spirits, those spirits were things that were created beings, and some of them are bad spirits or unclean spirits, and some of them are good spirits. They're ministering spirits, and we call those angels, and I tried to make that association, and I don't remember if the Holy Spirit even came up in that podcast. I would have to go listen to it again, but she connected the word spirit, and when Mommy said Holy Spirit, she said, that's the same as an angel. And Christy said, well, no, that's different. And she said, yeah, Daddy said, that's the same as an angel. Well, when that comes up, Christy doesn't argue with her. She doesn't. She just says, okay, if that's what Daddy said, then I'll let you ask Daddy when he gets home. And so she sent me a message somehow, on the phone or the computer, to say, when you get home, Taylor wants to know what the difference is between the Holy Spirit and angels. Well, that's amazing. I love that her mind is working in that way. I love that she's asking those questions, even though maybe that wasn't the best scenario because she was arguing with her mommy because she misunderstood or made an association from something that I said. And we do want to cultivate her questioning. We don't want to cultivate her arguing with us. But being polite and asking questions and being inquisitive, and Christy very wisely deals with that by not engaging her, just saying, okay, well, if that's what Daddy said, then we'll ask Daddy and he can explain it when we get home. And so she gave me a heads up for this. And those situations are great because during the times that I don't know the answer, you know, if they're having a discussion instead of waiting till I get home, Christy told me, hey, when you get home, you need to be ready to answer this question because Taylor's asking. She wants to know the difference. And so, of course, I took the time to piece together not only, you know, what the Bible says about angels versus the Holy Spirit, but how to present that to a five-year-old. But those are very special times for me, and I love being able to do that. And so when we don't have the answer automatically, or when we know I'm going to need some time to figure out, you know, maybe I know the verses that support this, I'm not sure how to present that to a young child, take your time. Just tell them, you know what, that's a great question, and I'm not sure how to answer that right now. But the answer is in the Bible, and we're going to look in the Bible, and we're going to find the answer together because we're building, we're developing within them a love and a respect for God's Word. And that's getting back to mentioning that that I got to go to the seminar and hear Steve Miner present this. One of the things that he challenged us to do in our homes, what we need to be developing in our children is not only knowledge but a respect for the Word of God, and understanding that that is our authority in all things. That is where we go to find answers. That is where we go to develop our faith. And we got to be training our children that that is where they go to develop their faith as well, to find these answers, to understand. And I'm not saying when every time they ask a question, just hand them a Bible and say, I don't know, go find it. there are some kids that would respond well to that and probably go find the answers, and that's one way to do it, I guess. But The flip side is not just always having the answer and telling them, well, I think it's this, and so you have to think it's this because that's what I think. But sit down with them and open the Bible together, and even if they can't read, or even if you use a translation that has big words that they don't understand, that's where you come in. That's where you might have to take some extra time to chew on that, to look those words up, to make sure you understand exactly what it's saying, and go and explain that to them, but still let them see that you're getting it from the Bible. Develop that respect, that knowledge, and hopefully, at the same time, you're developing within them a desire to go to that book, to understand, hey, every time we have something comes up, we can go find the answer there, and I know that is a book of answers. I know that is a book of hope. I know that is a book of solutions, and that can become something very special. I want that to be a part of my life, is to go and find that book. And so I challenge you, parents, to make sure that is a top priority in your home. Don't rely on Sunday morning Bible class and the sermon given by the preacher to be the source of answers. And please don't only be the source of answers yourself. Well, here's what I think. You might be right. You might not be right. You might be right and just not complete. But none of that matters, because all you're establishing is that, well, I'm the one that has the answers. I'm the one that knows. You just need to trust in me. No, hopefully our children trust in us. But when it comes to the Bible, they trust in us because they see us trusting in the Bible, and we pass that along to them as well. So thank you, Stephen and Stephanie Miner, for coming down for the seminar over the weekend. I don't know if you guys listened to these or not, but it was good to see you again. Thank you to the Stonewall congregation for hosting that, and for Billy Palmer, the preacher there, for setting that up. And thank you all for listening. I hope this has been a little bit helpful. And again, as always, you can find us at heavenboundpodcast.com. If you're not subscribed, there are several ways to do that. If you're trying and you can't figure it out, send us an email. And if you have already figured it out, you listen to the show, you love it, send us an email anyway. Let us know what you think. We love it when we get feedback. And please pass this show along to someone else. We'd like as many listeners as possible, because this is one of our little ways of sharing the gospel with the world. And I'm so glad my family can be a part of it. And as always, have a blessed week.